Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This week, Boston Mayor Marty Walsh proposed significant changes to the city's rental laws. They are a version of what housing advocates call a just cause eviction ordinance, one that would require landlords in Boston to give a reason for evicting a tenant and ensure tenants know their rights under the law. The ordinance is called the Jim Brooks Stabilization Act, and it's meant to protect tenants being displaced in the city's housing boom. The act was introduced to the city council today. However, it needs to be passed by the city council and the state legislature in order to become law. So joining us now to talk about what the act would do is Lydia Edwards. She's head of Boston's Office of Housing Stability. Lydia Edwards, welcome back to Radio Boston.
Oh, thank you very much. Thank you for this opportunity.
It's great to have you back. Also with us is Greg Vassell. He's CEO of the Greater Boston Real Estate Board. Greg Vassell, it's great to have you back on the show, too.
Great. Thank you.
So, Lydia, let's start with you, because the last time we spoke with you, it was back in August, your first day in office at the Office of Housing Stability. Here we are just, 4 months later, and you're rolling out what could be some significant changes to the city's rental laws. What specifically would this act do?
Well, this act is really an attempt to try to assure that we balance the needs of small landlords, but also inform tenants of their rights when they are potentially facing an eviction. Essentially, we want to assure that when the eviction, and many people don't know their rights when eviction happens, and we want to make sure that they do, so we will get a notice to quit from landlords, and the city will make sure that tenants are given a packet of their rights and understand what to expect in the process and what rights they have.
Mm. So just to be specific, landlords would now, if this ordinance passed, would now be required to inform the city that they were in the eviction process, and that requirement hadn't existed before.
Correct. And one of the key components of this act, if passed, would be a matter of getting the data for the city to really know what's going on and when it's going on as it's going on. You know, we have a lot of information, but it's often collected a year after the fact. And so this law, by allowing us, the city, to be informed of when people could potentially be evicted, helps us to also understand where they're being evicted from, who's doing majority of the evicting, and also for us to create real responsive policy that balances the needs of landlords, but also assures that tenants know their rights, mm-hmm. and come up with ways that we can hopefully avoid eviction altogether.
So in addition to these sort of notification clauses to the ordinance would also require, quote-unquote, good cause for eviction, that the eviction would have to satisfy one of several conditions in order to go through. So Greg Vassell, I mean, you represent the Greater Boston Real Estate Board here. What's your initial take on what this proposal would do?
The good cause sections are where the ownership interests in the city have deep concern. For example, if you had illegal activities, currently that the leaseholder is responsible for the actions of their family members and their guests, this puts it on the landlord to actually be the cop. So it makes it harder for landlords to get rid of situations where there's guns, prostitution, illegal drug activity, because you have to prove that the leaseholder, that person themselves, are the ones that are causing the activity and not the others. There, in fact, there was a case that came down from the SJC last year about guns, and it was a boyfriend, and it wasn't actually the person who was on the lease. Situations like that are deeply concerning to us.
Oh, I see, because it specifies that it's the tenant who has had to use the unit for illegal purposes.
And the landlord is the person responsible for proving that.
Hmm. Now, what about what Lydia Edwards was talking about earlier, that landlords would have to give the city a notice to quit when eviction proceedings were underway?
We view ourselves as partners in the housing crisis that the city is having in terms of the displacement efforts that have gone on with the administration. We work closely with the Walsh administration. We met Lydia, where we're excited to work very closely with her. So the notice is something that we want to get together and work on coming up with a solution to, and coming up with something that's palatable that works for people. So that's something we're very open to, and we'd like to have more dialogue on.
Mm. Now, the other good causes for eviction include failure to pay rent, that a tenant violates obligation or covenant of the tenancy, they've committed a nuisance or substantial damage to the unit, they have all, or a, the person holding at the end of the lease term is not an approved subtenant, things like that. These actually seem somewhat reasonable to me, Greg Vassell. I mean, I've seen other landlords quoted in the Boston Globe saying that it might make being a landlord virtually untenable in Boston.
Let me give you a hypothetical. If I'm renting a unit from you at the Mandarin Oriental and I'm paying you $10,000 a month and our lease ends and you come to me and say, oh, I think you should be paying $11,000 a month. And I say, no, I'm a tenant at will. So my tenancy would theoretically end after 30 days. But the way that this is set up was I would be under the protection of this particular ordinance. And I'd probably be able to stay in the unit under current law for a year and a half. So, you know, these protections are extended to people at all income levels. We're not talking about the people that are getting displaced. This thing applies. This could be a boon to wealthy tenants across the city, which is the exact kind of product that we've produced over the past couple of years.
Huh. Okay. So, Lydia Edwards, respond to what Greg Vassell's saying.
Yeah, there's a lot to respond to, but first of all, I do want to again acknowledge and also thank Greg as well. They did come; he came with several partners to the Office of Housing Stability, and we had a wonderful conversation. I do look forward to working with him, especially in the issue not even an issue, but in our continued efforts to reach out to landlords. And I think together we're going to come up with a wonderful set of ideas to really make sure that landlords are also informed of not only their rights and obligations. So thank you again, Greg, for coming by. But with regards to a couple things, I think I want people to understand what's going on as how we see it. First of all, 80%, based on the statistics that we've gotten so far, which again are based on a yearly average, so 2014 and 2015, 80% of evictions are due to non-payment of rent.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So while we can always look to and point to extreme cases, I think there was an issue of gun violence and so on and so forth, of non-tenants doing or creating what I think this law also pertains to is a nuisance. You can also evict somebody for a nuisance. But here, the very first reason that you can evict somebody under this act, it doesn't prevent you from evicting them for non-payment of rent. So there's 80% of landlords' woes that cause most evictions is non-payment of rent. There's nuisance. There's also illegal activity or used for illegal purposes. So there's a lot of different ways that landlords can protect themselves and prevent a problem tenant. I think at one point, you know, if a landlord wishes to raise the rent after a tenancy, okay, and the tenant chooses not to or will not pay that rent, that would be considered non-payment of rent.
Mm-hmm.
And then the normal process for an eviction will come through. This act does not speed up or slow down that process. So I don't want us to be negotiating or dealing with a parade of horribles. The reality is 80% of evictions are due to non-payment
right.
of rent.
Well,
and I just want to also note, 80% of evictions do not come from court. Many people get the notice to quit,
and they leave, and they give up,
and they do not know their rights. And that's why this law is so important, to make sure that they understand what they're giving up, why they're giving it up, and if they do have any rights, they should know about them. And I don't see how that's going to prevent, you know, development. That's not going to prevent people from being able to own property.
Yeah. Well, this is an interesting point. I'm eager to hear Greg Vassell's reaction to that. I mean, if much of the spirit of this proposal is exactly what Lydia Edwards is saying, and that is, you know, allowing people a window of opportunity to know what their rights are, both as tenants and landlords, what's the problem with that?
We don't have any problem with educating people. The spirit is something that we can certainly embrace. The issue is the details, actually, in the ordinance. And that's where we think we need to probably get together and spend some time working on that.
Okay. Well, Lydia Edwards, let me ask you. Initial versions of this ordinance included some much more significant provisions, such as, you know, there was a proposal a year ago, that any time a landlord would want to increase rent more than 5%, that it would have to go into mediation with the city. Those parts of the ordinance are gone now. They're not in the mayor's proposal whatsoever. So I'm curious how you think that this ordinance does actually have what it would do to get to the heart of the problem that we're seeing, which is rising rents and the displacement of so many tenants in so many vulnerable neighborhoods because of those spiking rents.
Again, as I mentioned, 80% of people who are facing eviction will never be evicted by a court. They leave without knowing their rights. They end up self-displacing without even understanding the process that they're going to go through, that the time that they have, understanding. And we believe firmly that informed tenants, and even and also just want to be clear, this act also includes homeowners in foreclosure. Right, so it's just not tenants and landlords; it's also homeowners who have had their properties foreclosed. And what's most important is that if they are able to know their rights, they are able to negotiate, they're able to discuss all of the options that are really on the table for them. And I think that's actually one of the best ways in which a person can prevent displacement is to actually be able to advocate for yourself.
Yeah. Well, Greg Vassil, let me ask you, this proposal would apply to landlords with 7 or more units or those who have an LLC. I haven't been able to pin down a number in terms of how many landlords in the greater Boston area that would apply to. I mean, do we even know?
I don't.
Okay.
I don't. That might be something that the city, through their rental reinspection ordinances, may have a sense of, but we don't.
Okay. So, but ideally, that the 7 or more units would maybe mean we're talking, you know, medium to bigger size landlords, not smaller landlords who, you know, maybe own 1 or 2 or up to 7 units.
It could.
Okay.
Yeah. If I can take those numbers, actually, we think actually a very small percentage, maybe less than 10% of landlords in the city.
Okay. Now, you also mentioned
that it would apply to.
You mentioned that, Lydia, that the possibility that this would, the act would allow the city to gather a form of data that they haven't been able to gather before. So do we have, in terms of how many notices to quit are being issued and things like that, do we have a sense as to how you're going to gather that data? Is there an information system already built in here, or is that to come?
That's to come, and what we would be getting is, again, just a copy of the notice to quit, right? So that could, and again, being able to work with partners at Greater Boston, the Greater Boston Real Estate Board already on landlords' needs and efficiency, we'd be able to design something we think that would be very, very convenient for landlords, literally just either scan it over to us or come in and file it if you so choose or send it in by mail. But we would come up with something that is not overly burdensome.
And Greg Vassil, final question to you. I take your point that your concern is that the details regarding the details of the good causes for eviction that the ordinance would specify. But overall, do you think that this is sort of a step in the right direction? Is Boston doing, you know, a good faith job of trying to appeal to both the issues of tenants and landlords in the city as the city continues to grow?
I can't comment to the ordinance itself, but I will say that the administration has been wonderful to work with on the housing issue. We have been, you know, partners with them. We've worked very closely with them. But there are some things in the ordinance that are troubling, and we need to spend more time working on that.
Mm. Well, Greg Vassil is the CEO of the Greater Boston Real Estate Board. It's always great to talk with you. Thank you so much for coming in.
Thank you.
And Lydia Edwards, head of Boston's Office of Housing Stability, thank you so much for joining us today and walking us through the details of the mayor's proposal.
Well, thank you very much for this opportunity.
And by the way, last year at about this time, we did an in-depth 4-part series about just cause evictions and a proposed ordinance. And we've got a link to that entire series that really kicked all of this coverage off. We've got a link there at radioboston.org. We spoke to residents, landlords, including Greg, and housing experts about what the rental crisis in Boston means and ways forward. So again, we've got a link to that series at radioboston.org.